Good.
Well, we like to share good news or share what God has been doing amongst us. I wonder, it's been a couple of weeks since we've met here at 10:30. I wonder if anyone has anything they'd like to share with us. I know I've got one person. Right. Come and tell us what God has done.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord and praise the Lord because my mum has been very poorly for 6 weeks. I told you a couple of weeks ago that actually she wasn't very well, but she was getting better. She's been to see the consultant, and they're actually very pleased with her. So, praise the Lord. It's great. We can now all just be peaceful with that she's healing. So, thank you.
Good. Anne.
I just felt a prompting this morning to share something, and it coincides with two things that have happened already in the service. First one was the prayer card that we were given to pray for John's replacement. And I was reminded almost instantly of the times when we prayed when we were in the middle of an interregnum. And we had one word blasted from Celia Corden at one of the meetings saying, the man, and it was a man, the man coming here will come running and you will find it difficult to keep up with him. Now, does that not fit exactly? And I'm so thankful that God has spoken this morning and said, you will not run out of steam.
Good. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah.
Well, this is really a word of encouragement for people that sometimes are a bit sleepless at night. And just recently, I've woken up sort of about 4:30 or 5:00 time and not able to sleep. I've been really fresh and I wasn't in pain. But then the Lord reminded me that this is a good time to pray for other people and to give thanks to him and to really listen to him. So don't be discouraged if you're sleepless. Use it well. Use it to pray and just let God then lead you into sleep if he will.
Good. Lovely. Great. Well, thank you for those. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide and direct my words and our hearts so that we can be changed to be more like Jesus. So come now, we pray, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's been actually quite a remarkable week for the church locally and the church nationally. Of course, John had his retirement last weekend. And do please use those prayer cards and do keep praying for his replacement. That would be great. And it's been a remarkable life. Week in the life of the Anglican Communion. There they all are, the primates. It gives you the impression of lots of gorillas walking around Canterbury Cathedral, doesn't it? But anyway, there are the primates, and they were trying to decide whether the Anglican Communion was going to self-combust, and all the signs were that it was going to combust and blow itself to bits over the issue of same-sex marriage and all the rest of it. And remarkably, what happened, lots of people were praying, certainly I was praying, a lot of people were praying, and remarkably what happened was, first of all, that the Anglican Communion did not fall apart, which is wonderful. And the second remarkable thing was they affirmed what the Bible says about marriage, which is it's between a man and a woman. So to get those two results in 1 week is absolutely wonderful. But you know what I do? Whenever I want to know what's really going on in the world, I always look at the Church Times. I get the Church Times, and it calls itself somewhat modestly the world's leading Anglican newspaper. Not many newspapers can say that, but this one does. And when I look at the Church Times, I find out what's really what. And they've got a question column. And you would have thought it would have some questions like, why does the God of love allow suffering, you know? Or was the earth really created in 6 days? That kind of stuff, you know? But there are much more important things. And this is the question that came up in yesterday's version of the Church Times that I read. Liturgical use of the iPad, it said. And this is absolutely priceless. This is the question. I have noticed priests using iPads to read the offices, services, and also the gospel at the Eucharist. Is raising the iPad after the reading and kissing it now an accepted norm? Absolute. Okay. Now, there were various different views about this, whether it was possible, whether it was not possible, whether you should, you should. This is my favorite. This is from the Reverend Oliver Koss, liturgical advisor to the Diocesan Advisory Committee in Birmingham. This is what he has to say. The medium from which the gospel has been proclaimed should be kissed by the deacon with the words, "May the words of the gospel wipe away our sins." Caution should be exercised, however, as an unevenly distributed kiss may cause the capacitive screen of the iPad to skip a few pages and may result in the premature arrival at the dismissal. The subsequent act of desmudging of the screen with an anti-static wipe is a practical measure of no theological significance and is best performed by a sight person. So now we know. Absolutely. That's the end of the sermon. So I've lost my place. Which has got nothing to do with what I want to say this morning, except to say that in the kingdom of God, we really want to focus on essentials, don't we? So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the year ahead for us as a church. And just begin, first of all, with a look back in the last year and to say that it's been clear to me that the Lord has been on the move in this church. And what I hoped during my sabbatical was that I would go away and lay everything down. And I did that. I went away. You didn't see me for 3 months. Lots of sighs of relief all round. Everyone had a bit of a rest. And I felt I should have a clean sheet. And so nothing would be ruled in, nothing would be ruled out. And I went to visit some churches which were growing, which were thriving. And I said, "Come on, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me." And I believe that he did. And I've spoken to you about that over several weeks. And last Monday, the All Saints Committee met and they made a number of key decisions. And you'll remember that from my talks on my return, that I said that in churches which are growing and flourishing, which were healthy in every department, the members of those churches had a clear idea about the purpose of the church and what being a church member really means. What are we here for and how do I fit in? And I said, if we could encapsulate these ideas briefly and memorably, then this would change the culture of the fellowship. And of course, not everybody can sign up to these things 100% of the time, but people know what the fellowship is all about. And in the churches that I mentioned, that I visited, these key aims and values were mentioned all the time on a regular basis. And it gave focus to the ministry of that church together. Now, of course, we already have a strapline, if you like. It's on the front of all their literature. Loving, learning, serving together. And I certainly wouldn't want to change that. But when we came up with that strapline, what I felt about that was that this was something we put outside the church or in our literature to give people outside the church an idea of the kind of people that we are. We also have some key aims, if you remember, to become larger, younger, stronger, deeper, wider. Again, those are aims which I think we should aspire to. But the more I thought about it, the clearer it became to me that these were outcomes of a healthy church rather than the purpose of the church. You expect to see a church getting larger numerically if it's healthy. You expect a church to seeing the relationship with God of each individual member to getting deeper, the relationship between each of the members to be getting stronger. But that isn't quite the purpose of the church. So as in my talks last year, at the end of last year in November, I suggested three things: a statement about the purpose of the church as a whole, a specific objective for us at All Saints, and a statement of how individual members would fit in. And the committee met on Monday, and we unanimously agreed to adopt these. And this is now official. It's not just the bright idea of the vicar. This is officially what we're about as a church. So let's go through them again. First of all, the purpose of the church: to see the kingdom of God come in power by the transformation of our community. Let me just say, interestingly, the words "in power" kind of slipped in there. I felt as we were thinking about this originally, it said "come in Swanage." But actually, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God coming in power. Just before the transfiguration, you'll see the kingdom of God coming in power. We're not just interested in social work here, you know. We're interested in bringing out, going out into the community and seeing God come by the power of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean to say we don't do good works. We want to do good works. Jesus says, go and do good works. But we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit here. So what's the task of All Saints? What are we to do as a church? Well, we need to equip God's people at All Saints so that each person becomes an agent of that transformation. So when we come together as a fellowship, it's an equipping experience. If you think, goodness, I don't know how to talk to people about Jesus. I don't know how to listen. I don't know how to do this. I don't know, you know, come to church and be equipped. And then, what does it mean to be a member of our church here? We've adopted 5 marks of membership. To worship regularly. Come along on a Sunday morning or Wednesday if you can't make Sunday. Worship regularly. Give financially. Churches cost money to run. It's our responsibility as Christian believers to give. Serve on a team. There are lots of opportunities to serve here. We'll be unpacking this in the course of the year. Be part of a branch. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, a branch is a small group. A small group. It's a branch of the church, a branch community. Do you remember Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And to pray. Worship, give, serve, be part of a branch, and pray. And if you notice, if you take your weekly notice sheet, got a nice new one here. Down the side, it says, equipping God's people, transforming community. So every week, we'll have a reminder of what we're about as a church. So how will this work? Well, yesterday, about 45 of us, members of committee, team leaders, branch leaders, and he said home group leaders, branch leaders, and others met together to flesh out what this would mean, certainly in the year ahead. And the first thing I want to say to you is I think the Lord could do anything amongst us, you know, in the next 12 months with Jesus. All bets are off. If you just imagine the first disciples and Jesus calls them by the Sea of Galilee. And what were they expecting? Well, I think that they were expecting that they would hitch up with this guy and this rabbi, and they would wander around Galilee, and they would listen to him, they would absorb his teaching, they would live with him for a couple of years, and eventually they would become rabbis themselves, because that's what you did in those days. You became apprenticed to a rabbi. They certainly weren't expecting all the miracles. They certainly weren't expecting to go through the transfiguration, the persecution that they suffered. They weren't expecting to see Jesus arrested and crucified. They certainly weren't expecting him to rise from the dead again and ascend to heaven. And they certainly didn't think at the beginning they're going to be walking with God. They weren't expecting any of that, because when you start walking with Jesus, all bets are off. All bets are off. God's constantly doing unusual things. Now, we have a custom in this church, which was, we have a verse of the year. Can anybody remember last year's verse of the year? Fantastic. Brilliant, Peter. Well done. Look at that. There it is. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And, you know, when I sat down this week, I thought, have we done that? And we've really done that. This church has really done that. It's been brilliant to see how people have persevered. People have run the race. We fixed our eyes on Jesus. It's been brilliant. This is a new year. And I've been praying about the verse of the year for this year. And this is it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And God is always doing something new amongst us. Always doing something new amongst us. And I love that verse. It says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, we can look around our community and think that it's dying for lack of the word of God. It's thirsty. And our responsibility with the Lord is to go and take his life-giving water to them, to turn the barren wasteland into a fruitful place. And this was reinforced, actually, by a word I believe I received this week. And I'm going to read it to you. And I've run this past a number of people who are perceptive and who know how to discern true words from untrue words. And we think this is an authentic word. So I'm going to read it to you and have a listen to this. There are two sorts of shaking in my word. That's the Bible. The first is to shake what can be shaken, to bring down strongholds, to shake those who believe they are strong, to show that they are weak. But there is another sort of shaking, where the trees are shaken and from them pours forth fruit. I want to shake you to enable you to be fruitful. This is not the shaking of people who believe they are strong but turn out to be weak. It's the shaking of people who know they are weak but through the shaking are fruitful. Let me shake you all, your lives with me, your ministries, your treasured occupations and positions. Be prepared to let me shake you. And as I shake you, watch the fruit drop from your branches. And I sat down and wrote that out the other day, and I wondered whether it was authentic. And it's very difficult to judge your own prophecies, which is why I think Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 said, let others weigh what is said, because I always look at that and think, no, that's a load of rubbish. But so I passed it on to some others as well, particularly Pauline and Anne, who head up the prophetic team. And there was something that did really surprise me, which is where God said, there are two sorts of shaking in my words. And I knew one sort of shaking. You probably know the verse from Haggai chapter 2. Once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. That's shaking of judgment, isn't it? But this was talking about shaking a tree to allow the olives to fall down. And that's how they harvest olives. They whack the sides of the tree and shake it, and all the fruit comes out. And I thought, well, I don't know anywhere of that in the Bible. Where is that? I did a bit of digging. I put shaking and olives in the Bible, and I came out with this, which is a verse I never knew, Isaiah 17, verse 6. And it's about the judgment on Damascus and the glory of God's people fading. And yet, it says this, yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. See? So if my word's authentic, and I believe it is, the Lord is saying there's going to be a shaking, but from the shaking will come forth fruitfulness. But let me say a couple of things about that. First of all, I can't pretend that shaking is comfortable for most of us. Now, I'm a very unusual person. I love change. Change energizes me. Actually, only about 20% of people love change. I'm one of them, as you can imagine. 20% of people absolutely hate change. And if you're a change hater, you know, it's just the way you are. Like, I'm a change lover. It's just the way I am. And 60% of us, you know, are prepared to run with it, but are not that enthusiastic. The thing is that in God's kingdom, all bets are off. We need to be ready for the Lord to rewrite our scripts for us, you know? And secondly, if God is shaking us and he's doing it for a positive reason to enable us to become more fruitful, then the important thing is we mustn't resist his shaking. We need to cooperate with what he's doing, even if we find it uncomfortable. We need to be prepared to lay everything down to enable God to do a new thing. See? And I'm going to share some plans with you now, some things that we're proposing to do this year. But can I just tell you that actually in God's kingdom, all bets are off. So it could be that none of this will happen. Because the Lord might step in and say, no, we're not going to do that. I'm doing a new thing. How can we reach the people of Swanage for the Lord? Remember last November, and I shared with you that Jesus uses a particular verb as to the way we're to act. What is the verb? It is go, go, go. Absolutely. So how are we going to go? What can we say? What can we do? How can we draw people to Christ? Well, you've all been given one of these things. Big dates for 2016, which is rather tiny writing, but fortunately, you've got your own little version here. And let me just share a few dates for you, because these are opportunities for us to go and draw people to Jesus. These are just little vehicles. Each one of these is an opportunity to share. So, for example, on the 6th of March, it's Mother's Day. Okay? We're going to have breakfast at 10 here. Lovely breakfast. And then we're going to dedicate some babies to the Lord. Okay? We have some lovely babies amongst us. We're going to pray for them. We're going to dedicate them to God. Give thanks to them. Okay? People love babies, don't they? Everyone loves babies. So, bring your friends. It's going to be a lovely, lovely baby-filled occasion. All right? They'll probably be sick on me, as they usually are. But nevertheless, it's going to be great. Okay? Bring them along. Okay, 19th of March, Lindy's going to be organizing our community cafe and car wash again, all right? And please encourage people to bring their cars along. We've had people who now come to church just because they had their car washed. Seems extraordinary, but it's a huge hit with our neighbors. So please bring your cars, but more importantly, bring yourself to wash other people's cars. Is that all right? 21st, have you got some pictures? Oh, yeah, breakfast and 10. Oh, yeah, here we are. 21st of May, Olwell Community Fun Day. Okay, hopefully the lambs will be there. Yeah, yeah. The lady of the lambs says they're going to be here. Everyone loved the lambs last year. Really great. This is really building up now. People are just drawn to this because they know there's no catch. It's just a great day when we can have fun together. So it's going to be brilliant. And then, Prom Praise. 7th of May, Prom Praise. For those of you who don't know what Prom Praise is, it's an amazing kind of gospel concert thing. But basically, it's got the All Souls Orchestra, loads of professional musicians, a massive choir. We're going to fill the Wessex Hall with Christian music, but also secular music, but to a really, really high standard. It's going to be great. And if you know somebody who likes music and enjoys this kind of thing, invite them along. There's going to be a short, very accessible gospel talk by a guy called Rico Pice, who is a really good evangelist. It's going to be absolutely great. So come along to Prom Praise. There's some little leaflets at the back. Pick up a leaflet. What else have we got going on? Oh, all sorts of things. We've got the carnival opening service on 31st of July. 11th of September, we can't do the farm harvest this year because it kind of doesn't work out on Claire and Andrew's farm. But we're going to have a special breakfast at 10 and celebration lunch here in September. And all sorts of other things as well. Look, you know, there are lots of opportunities to bring people to connect with us, but more importantly, connect with Jesus. I genuinely think that the Lord is doing something new amongst us, which means actually that none of this stuff could happen because he might just step in and say, actually, forget that. And I'm really up for that. What is it? In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps, it says in Proverbs. That's 16, verse 9. But the interesting thing is we are doing a number of things we've done before. We're doing them in a slightly different way. We're doing a Sunday school, which we've done before, but in a slightly different way. See? We're going away on a church weekend. Church weekend, 15th, 17th of April. We're going back to this place, Sidholm in Devon, in Sidmouth, which is a really great place. Usually, the last two weekends away we've had an outside speaker. This time, actually, Tim is going to lead our times together, Tim Silk. And you know, he's a really great speaker, and he's going to be talking about game changers, people in the Bible who were real game changers, and it's going to be brilliant. So do book up for that, 15th to the 17th of April. And then also we're going to make a change in the way we do Alpha. Where's Lorna? Lorna, come and tell us about Alpha. Think. And David too.
Very quickly. Many of you know that I came to faith through an Alpha course, which was almost 20 years ago. And when I was looking up to speak today, I discovered that actually it's its 40th birthday next year. It was started in 1977 by Reverend Charles Marnham at Holy Trinity Brompton, just for a few people. And Nikki Gumbel, who we now know is associated very much with Alpha, took it on and put it into a 10-week course for people in the Holy Trinity Brompton area. It started in 1990s with him, with just four courses, and went up to 2,500 in 1995. I took my course here in about 1997, or the first of many that I did before I finally got it. But I've always been passionate about the Alpha material and anything that Nikki Gumbel's been doing. And Andrew kindly asked David and I to help on an Alpha course last summer, and it reignited me, just watching God at work in people's lives and hearing people's questions and remembering the questions that I asked. And still, you know, being challenged, you know, it's lovely to be challenged and to be asked lots of different questions. So from that, I went on to lead a women's Alpha course at home, which was lovely. It's I had a few helpers from church and supported me, which was fantastic. And it was just a group of women eating cakes and firing questions at each other. So very good. But what I discovered through that was Holy Trinity have brought out new material, which is phenomenal. And we are going to run quite a large Alpha campaign now, because I was thinking that 10 weeks for seven people was great, but we could reach so many more people in our community. So I was praying about it, and it sort of got bigger and bigger, which is quite alarming, talking about people that feel insignificant. But we are going with it. We are running an Alpha course at church. I'm doing a ladies Alpha, and I'm going to leave this one to talk about another one in a minute. But we've devised some invitations which actually mimic the book that we give people on the Alpha course.
Which are never mistaken, don't they?
They
not anymore.
Not anymore.
They do have a mistake, can you believe it? But they do have a mistake. So all I'm going to say is there are invitations at the back, and it's meant to be Thursday, the 11th of February, for this launch evening. So if you would like a proper invitation, you'll have to wait till Tuesday, because we're going to get some more printed off. I think we were just running a bit fast that day, but we've got it wrong. But there are some which David has doctored, literally, which have got Thursday. Thursday the 11th. So if you feel you want to take an invitation today. But what my prayer is, what I've been instructed to sort of really share with everybody, is that this isn't just for people that have never heard of the Alpha course. I believe this is for us all. I've been fired up again just by hearing this new material, and I believe if that can do for every one of us sitting here, and then we go out and pass on invitations to people, there's going to be a huge transformation. I'm very excited about it. We've got 500 invitations. We are going to have a launch night on Thursday, the 11th of February, 7:30 to 9, which will be a social evening, sort of cafe style, with beer and wine, and a talk by an artist called Charlie McAtee. He was an absolute atheist. He was so anti, and he talks of his journey through Alpha on about the third or fourth occasion, and his journey with God to a relationship with Jesus. And I would just urge anybody that's vaguely interested, just to come along to that evening. And if you feel you can hand this to a neighbour, to a friend you've been sort of thinking, I wonder, I truly believe that this will reach a lot of people in this town.
So the plan is we're going to have a ladies' daytime alpha.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a mixed alpha
here.
Okay, here. And then also we're going to have
a gentleman's alpha.
Gentleman's alpha.
And with beer. Where do gentlemen like to meet?
The pub.
We like to meet in the pub. So we will be meeting in the Crow's Nest, 7:30 for an 8 o'clock start. We'll be drinking beer and eating fish and chips or something similar. Yeah. So this is your opportunity. All those people you've been praying for, hand them one of these, get them to come along. Come along with them. Even if you have no intention of doing the Alpha course, just come along and be here and pray for people. Let's fill this church. You won't be disappointed. Charlie's not coming to talk. It's on a video. But you won't be disappointed. He is inspiring. I've seen it. And come along and pray for the people, pray for everybody here, that they actually commit. Talking to people in breakfast at 9, wives of husbands who I thought might come to the pub for a beer. Oh, he does this on a Tuesday. Well, let's get them to lay it down. Let's use the Holy Spirit. Let's change them. Let's get them along. This is transformational. It's intentionally missional, and we've got to do it.
Great. Good. Lovely. Thank you, David and Laura. Oops. Great. I'm going to stop talking just to say this. I really do believe the Lord is doing a new thing amongst us. And he wants to shake us, positively shake us, so that fruit comes. And it is going to be really exciting. And so, could you please pray for me? And I'll be praying for all of you. And let's just stand for a moment and we're going to pray. Could you please stand up? Our Holy Spirit, I pray that you fall upon us now. Come, Holy Spirit, upon us. And Lord, I pray that you begin to shake us. Begin to shake us. Lord, shake us out of all the things we've been used to doing. And Lord, I pray that through the shaking, you release fruit in our lives so that we become fruitful Christians. And Lord, we offer you all the things we've talked about this morning. And Lord, we lay them at your feet. And Lord, we say, they're yours to pick up or not as you wish. Lord, we thank you that with Jesus, all bets are off. Lord, that you're constantly doing a new thing. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this year you may do a new thing in the lives of your people here at All Saints and all your people here in Swanage. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.